Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everybody. I want to welcome you to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and I am just so proud of my sister, Amy, my co-host, Miss Amy Frost, and Frost Bryant here. She's going to be doing a TED Talk and talking about the importance of clarity. And, boy, we're going to be jumping through different ways of being able to know, you know, how do I know I have true clarity? There's going to be some great exercises that literally you can do every day. So let me just go ahead and get you on, Miss Amy. I'm excited for you.
You're going to ask me how I am?
Oh, how are you, Amy?
Well, thanks for asking.
I figured you already knew since you missed TED Talk. Go ahead.
Ready? I'm clearly confused.
Oh, okay. So that's the importance of the clarity. Okay, let's figure this out.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm just going to kind of win, and I want to thank you not only as a supporter of mine, but also, you know, working with you with Transformation Cafe for so many years and such great work. As a matter of fact, today I re-listened to the podcast that we did with Dr. Kristen Miller on soul resilience, and oh man, that is really beautiful work, and it really helped me to connect and to be able to let my soul help me in doing this. And the official title is Lead with Clarity, and being able to, you know, dance with you on this. And I said, hey, I have the end of August is when I'll be doing this. But how this came about, I was approached. There's a big conference here in Las Vegas, and they wanted to have come in and have several people do these 8-minute TED Talks. And so they approached me about doing mental health and addiction, and I have 8 minutes. And in talking with them, it really became clear to me that really wasn't what the issue was. That isn't what this group really needed. Because there are a lot of it's people who are managers and leaders in this organization, and there are, you know, there's like 2,400 of them all over the country. And so I really thought about, okay, what do they really need? And what came to me is really more about leading with clarity about consciousness and making conscious actions. And figure out how do we get to conscious action. So I kind of want you to think about, in, you know, as a mother, Robin, as an owner of a business, as a wife, as a friend, as we kind of go through this. And I'm not quite to the 8 minutes yet, but I think I'm getting close. But what's really come to me is about what this is about isn't not mental health and addiction, but it's really about living soberly, living consciously, stopping and getting ourselves ready to make conscious decisions. So for me, it's about creating healthy workplaces, leading yourself and others consciously, and that really leads to leading with clarity. So anything come to you from what I've already said?
Yeah, how do I know that that's my truest clarity? If I had things coming forward for me and just like looking at something, how do I know that is the true clarity for me?
That's a really good question. So as we're going through this, well, let's come back to that. And I'm going to do an exercise with you. And then I want you to come back and answer that for me. How about that?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's a great question. So for me, I was really thinking about, yeah, thank you. Why is this important now? Why do we need to worry about being conscious and leading with clarity? And I've really been, you know, thinking about it, reflecting on it, praying on it. And I feel like people, especially we have that mass exodus from the workplace and, of course, COVID, where people are really thinking about who am I really, what are my relationships, what are my careers. And I think people really want to be in places where they feel connected. They feel connected to the place. They feel connected to their mission and that they're living their gifts and talents and where they're appreciated and valued. And actually kind of the values, and that their values are in alignment with the company. And then for that's kind of looking at the people, whether they're managers or whatever level of worker they are. But then coming back to the organization, no matter how big or small the organization or nonprofit or company or family, is they really need, the organizations need to retain and bring in quality employees and to support productivity and profits to keep the business running. Because, you know, they are businesses, right? And then what really came to me that, you know, emotional empowerment and resilience and positive psychology, emotional intelligence enables you and your staff to make conscious choices versus costly, unhealthy choices. Because, you know, right, there's been plenty of times when everybody got busy and whether it was a holiday or there was a lot of stress and something happened. And then because of that, things happen that cost you more money than if you'd stopped and taken more time. Does that ring any bells?
Mm-hmm. You want me to elaborate?
I would love to have you elaborate.
Well,
you have 30
you know,
minutes, not 8 minutes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Well, you know, sometimes it's a matter of a customer, the way that they communicate what they want and how they get credit. Mm-hmm. How, you know, being a florist is can be a challenge because you're basically trusting what people are saying in the matter of the way you think you understand it. And what they may be envisioning may be different. Yeah, may be different than the final product that we're able to create or we're understanding that they want. Right. So, you know, right off the bat for me might be I had a lady come in and she wanted and, you know, during graduation, we have orchids called Bombays, which are kind of a fuchsia pink color. They're kind of, to me, they're a little more purple than pink. Mm-hmm. And a lady came in, and she ordered everything online. She ordered it online, and then she came in to pick it up. And she had said she wanted a pink lei. And we can get light pink, you know, dendrobium orchids. So a light pink dendrobium orchid was created for her because she said she wanted it pink. It wasn't the orchid color that a Bombay is. They're very different colors, very striking colors. Oh, wow. So and you know, we had people who were wanting more pastels and other people who were wanting more traditional tropic colors. And so luckily she came in, we had made a pink, beautiful light pink one for her, and she was just like, that's not what I wanted at all, and blah, blah, blah. She just started going off like she was expecting us to fail. And she's like, see, you were right. You know, you didn't do it the way I wanted it to. And then I grabbed another lei out of the cooler that we had made because we were making extras so people could get one right away if they wanted one. And I said, is this what you're looking for? And she goes, yes, this is pink.
Wow.
This is pink. That's not pink. So it was a matter of just the understanding of that. So she, you know, she got that lei and she still huffed off like, you know, we didn't know what she wanted and we were basically solving the problem for her, but that's what she wanted originally, but it was not, you know, communicated in a way that we fully understood what she wanted. That's why pictures are worth a thousand words.
Right. That it's not only about you being clear. It's about working with others who may not be, they think they're clear, but they're not. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of times when I'm, you know, in a conversation with somebody, I'm supporting somebody, usually the issue they bring to me is not the issue at all. And it's something else.
And, you know, I really try to come from a point with when we're working with other people is like, for them, that's what was true. Like we're talking about their clarity. For them, she was really clear about what she wanted. But yet my clarity and her clarity weren't lining up with each other, even though we could create it for her, and she wound up actually getting what she wanted. But it was the frustration of, like, you don't get me from the get-go.
I love it. So, that you know, well, part of that was her expectations that people aren't going to meet her needs, right? And then part of that was in front of everything.
Like, see, you didn't do it right. And, I mean, you know, to me, I mean, the other lei was just gorgeous, and, you know, we sold it very quickly after we put it in and said, you know, it's like, is that for them? We're like, yeah, you know, oh, my God, I'll take that. it's one of those kind of situations.
Right. It's really about creating connected clarity and being able to get to that point. So that's beautiful, Robin. I'm definitely taking good notes on that. So part of it is like really being present at work, making a career and a life you have chosen instead of it just kind of happening to you. So a good friend of mine, Kay Gilley, she wrote the book, Leading from the Heart, but she also wrote the book, The Alchemy of Fear. And so interesting. It was like 1998, I want to say. And recently she was re-looking at it and asked me to read some pages, and I found this quote that fits perfectly, at least I think it do. It does. The Alchemy of Fear, How to Break the Corporate Trance and Create Your Company's Successful Future. So here's the quote. When we bring our fears to consciousness, understand and honor them, open ourselves to effectively using our rational brains. The pace of change is too fast, and the stakes are too high today to make our decisions while on automatic pilot. We can no longer make our decisions without full access to part of our brain, excluding important information from consideration because of our fear of bringing it to our consciousness. So having your whole brain, and you know, and I would include right our intuition, right our creativity, all the parts of our brain, instead of it having shut down in just that survival mode, which makes really poor decisions when you're just trying to survive. And I was
And that's being fully present as much as you can be in that moment. Mm-hmm.
So I had seen a video recently, and the fellow talked about that we make 35,000 choices a day. And I was thinking, wow, how many of those choices are conscious? And how many of them are focused on bringing about, you know, the lives and the workplaces that we want to be part of? And what if these tools could help us make more of those choices conscious? And then we would have more of a life that we created.
Mm-hmm.
How's that feel?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Would you like to play?
You know, and I seek to do that every day. I mean, you know, and it's a process, and you know, it's the dance between one person's life and your life, and you're interacting with them. So, you know, part of it is it's just like, you know, we talked about it on the show before. You know, I think it's really important to play. It's important to have games and things that you interact with people, so it's not all about just, you know, moving paperwork or whatever you're doing every day. It's breaking bread with people. It's sitting down with somebody and maybe playing a little bit of Uno or some kind of a dice game or something that you can just have a little bit of a, you know, a 10 or, you know, 20-minute break in your day when you're interacting with somebody in just a way that, you know, it's like, you know, I've got a person in front of me. Hey, how you doing?
I love that. You know? And so play is definitely part of creativity and opens up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know you consciously make those breaks, so it kind of relaxes the brain, right? And it also creates family. It creates connection with those that you're working with.
And part of it, too, is tapping into your joy every day.
Mm-hmm.
Because we very much are in places that we think, like, oh, I'm working, how can I be in joy? Well, if it's the old, you know, adage of, like, you know, you don't work a day in your life if you do what you love.
Absolutely.
You know, if I'm enjoying my process and, time just goes by because I'm enjoying this, whatever I'm working on, you know, hey, I get paid for that. That's awesome.
So here's my the process, and then I'm going to walk through a couple of my favorite tools, and then I want you to be thinking about, we talked about how do I know, trust that I have clarity, and you don't need to worry about telling us what the question is, but I want you to have a question that you're playing with, okay? And then I will, you know, we'll come back and say, do you feel, you know, that you can trust that clarity, and maybe we'll play with it. But what I'm, in working with lots of people, myself and lots of other people in groups, individually, what I've really come to find is that it's number one, connecting with yourself, and then doing ongoing practices to build a skill base so you're prepared when triggers happen or stress happens. Having a like-minded and like-hearted support team who want your highest good, who are willing to tell you the truth lovingly, and using tools real-time as needed. So because you've been doing that ongoing practice, it becomes a normal part of what you do. So what are you going to mention yourself and anybody who's listening, kind of being in your normal day, and, you know, you could use this to kick off your day or – which is always good. I highly recommend doing this, you know, in the morning to kick off, to get your, before you start running, and then at night to kind of relax yourself. And then throughout the day, as you've been doing this, you'll be able to stop and do it and make it a conscious practice. So I know you don't know this, Robin, and I'm sure, I think we've probably done this on the podcast before, but I'm going to do the 4-7-8 breath, and we're going to combine that with the heart breath. So the 4-7-8, I don't know if it originates from him, but Dr. Weil is known for it and does YouTube. So there's YouTubes out there, 4-7-8, and I'm going to combine it with the heart breath, and that comes out of heartmath.org, and they've been around for many years doing mind-body studies. So what I want you to do is imagine you're at the beginning of your day. Maybe you have a question on your mind. And so what you're going to put your hands on your heart, and I know Dr. Kristen has done this with us. If you go to the Soul Resilience number 500, she did a beautiful job of leading us through this and through a really deep process. So what you're going to do is you're going to breathe into the count of four, and it kind of moves you up. You're going to hold to the count of seven. Breathe out to the count of eight. Don't worry about whether it's your nose, your mouth, whatever. You've all been breathing a long time, and I just want you to follow your own guidance, and that's a lot of part of what this is. Research says that three breaths are really optimum to really help you to reset your nervous system, to help with blood pressure, all kinds of numbers. There's lots and lots of research. So we're going to do the second one, breathe into four. You're going to hold to seven and breathe out to eight. Now, on this third breath, we're actually going to do the heart breath. So to reset your system, what I want you to do is I want you to imagine something that brings you great peace or joy. Got it, Robin?
Mm-hmm.
So what you're going to do now is I want everybody to humor me. I want you to imagine breathing in that image, that feeling, that color, whatever it is. I'm going to go to the beach, have my feet in the sand, smell the ocean, hear the ocean breeze. That's what the image is for me. It can come in many different forms. It can be a song. So what you're going to do is you're going to breathe that image into your heart. Breathe into four. Imagine that image, that feeling, that color going into your entire body, going to every cell, filling you up, and then you're going to breathe out to the count of eight, releasing anything that is not that peace, that calm. Breathe that out, anything that's not it. Breathe it out, breathe it out, breathe it out. So we're going to go to the next phase, Robin, but how are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling very calm.
Yay. So sometimes it may take more than that. What I recommend, and we know when I'm working with somebody and they're really in an agitated state, a lot of times it's good not to make any decisions. So what I'll ask them to do is to do that. I mean, add some tapping. There's lots of great techniques. So I don't want to inundate people with lots of techniques. But techniques to do something in the morning and at night for, a few days, and then there's time to come back to dealing with that thing. And if not, we'll deal with things more real time. But as you learn how to reset your system, you'll be able to do this as stressors come up, as you need to make decisions. So I like to talk about a stop, be, and act model. So when you find yourself being pushed to make a decision, when you find yourself agitated, you're arguing, you're justifying, you're defending, you're saying things that aren't quite right, but that reptilian brain takes over and you're not in your calm state, you're not in a place where you may be saying things, doing things that you probably are going to regret. And so once you do that, I want you to stop yourself. And a lot of times that could be just taking a nice deep breath. It could be 4-7-8. It doesn't matter. If you can just take one nice deep breath, that's fine. Maybe stop and, talk to somebody who you trust, who can, hear you and see you and be present for you. But what I want you to do is so you stop yourself and to get yourself, and Dr. Kristen talks a lot about being in the field of compassion. And we support people. What I recommend is you go to that field of compassion, of love, of consciousness, then you act. The problem is if we don't stop ourselves and go to that state, ideally you're in that state anyway, and that's what a lot of these practices are about, you will act from an uncentered place, and then there's a big mess to clean up. So you stop, and then you be, and part of that being is really reflecting and getting yourself calm. So you can do the 4-7-8 and that heart breath to calm yourself down to get reset. And then I want you to think about the thing that you want to play with, Robin, okay? So what you're going to do now is you've got yourself nice and calm. And so what you're going to do is you're going to imagine having the outcome that you want from this thing that you're working on. And you can talk about it or not talk about it, so you don't need to worry about that. And that what you're going to do is imagine the most perfect, right outcome. So what you're going to do is now you're going to breathe that perfect, right outcome, the feeling, the excitement of it, the what you can see, feel, hear, all the senses that you can use. I want you to breathe that into your heart. And I want you to swish that around your entire body and breathe out anything that is not that image. You've got that feeling, that knowing of this is what I want. And so we're going to ask that you have the clarity for what that is and your next step. So we're going to do that a couple more times. Breathe that image in. And the image might change. The feeling might change as you're doing the breathing. So you can breathe into four, the count of four. Breathe that in, that image, that feeling. Hold it to seven. Breathe out anything that is not that. And then one more time. Breathe in that image of what you want, what it feels like, what it looks like, what it sounds like, who's around you, all that. Fill up your entire body and breathe out anything that is not that. Okay. So let's go back to your original question. Can you trust the clarity? Do you have clarity now? Robin, are you there?
I muted myself, so because you were in such a good mode there, I wanted to make sure we had a good part of the show with that. So it's about asking for help, and that's about trusting that there are people out there who can help me to make it happen.
Okay, so do you feel like you can trust that clarity that you just got?
Yes.
Okay, great. So is there anything you want to elaborate on that to help other people as they're using this process?
Well, I really love the way you talked about, you know, it's about how it feels. You know, our friend Maria, who's been on the show before, we've done this exercise just in our personal group. And she was lovely to talk about, you know, we're all sitting together on a purple sofa. And we have this, you know, she could feel the air conditioner on her and all these other kinds of things. So it's like being able to, you know, she invited other people to share that feeling with her. And that was very powerful to be in that place where we all could say, we'd say purple sofa, and we know what that means. It's a matter of us all being there to support one another. So having some kind of a group exercise where people could kind of share their, you know, their image or what they had with each other, and being able to have that as a point of reference, you know, so we could, once you come back out again, you could have that, you know, and it could even be the color purple. I mean, it necessarily wouldn't necessarily be a sofa,
right. But
the sofa says something about being able to sit together and have something that you're sharing because you're all together on the sofa. So it's that kind of a thing that I think is really good. And then just basically just letting all the rest of that, instead of just pushing it away or whatever, just let it dissolve. Just let it just disappear. Because it's not a matter of, like, it doesn't serve me to have those things. It's like we're talking about anybody having a sense of expectations. You know, whatever I have on expectations of what it's supposed to be or not be, it's just like the whole idea of, like, you know, I'm praying, I'm asking God for a house, and you've got this image of this just a basic house when he wants to give you a mansion. And I was talking to a friend of mine the other day about that, and she said, you know, she had heard this really lovely story about somebody who had gone to heaven, and they went to all these different rooms, and they just said, these are all the things you could have had, but you didn't feel you were worthy of it.
Right.
So it's all these things that we stop ourselves from having these different things. We were having another conversation with a friend today, and she was talking about how she loves to dance and how she loves to be by water. And Amy and I were talking right before the show, and I just said, because she's starting to own her voice of flow.
Beautiful.
He wants to be in a place where my body flows. I love being by the flow of everything, and it's something that I'm no longer going to deny myself of what that looks like in my life. I'm going to move with the things that are basically, you know, whispering me to follow them and be surrendered to that flow of what that is instead of trying to – it's that old saying of like, you know, but I think it's a Buddhist saying that says, you know, when you try to hold water, you can't hold it because you have a fist. But
right.
If I open my hand, I can let it flow through, you know, be on top of my hand, and I can experience flow instead of trying to hold on to it. You can't hold flow. You need to be in a place of being in you know, relationship with it as opposed to trying to restrict it or control it. Be with it.
So I want to tie this together and move it into the choice point, right, and the act point.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how you get to the being, right? So you're resetting
mm-hmm.
your nervous system. You're using imagination, which the body and the mind doesn't know the difference between imagination and it's real. So that can help you move into taking action because you've already, oh, that's a possibility. I'll go ahead and take action towards that. So it's really about evaluating options, you just like said, and allowing for options that we can't even imagine. You know, right? And then making those choices and then acting from the being calm state, not the fearful, mm-hmm. crazy, oh, God, I may make this happen. And then you make something happen that you have to live with that you may not want. So another mm-hmm. part of that, and, you know, there's the emotional freedom technique, which, you know, if you want to get certified in that, you can. There's lots of videos out there. But I want to just give you the cliff notes. And so there's several tapping points in the body, but research says if you just karate chop one hand into the other, and so, Robin, why don't you go ahead, and we're going to do that right now, karate chop one hand into the other. And then we're going to mm-hmm. say, even though, and what you're going to plug in is, you don't have to say this out loud, so everybody just can even say this in your mind, you know, even though I don't know how in the world I'm going to take this 30 minutes and get it into 8 minutes, I still completely love and accept myself. And so you would keep doing that until you got reset. And so I'm saying it about three times. And the words could change, the even though in fill in the blank. What that does is that owns it. And say, yes, I'm feeling this. Not making it good, not making it bad. Yes, I feel this. And then once you get centered, then you move into that, you know, after you've said, I still completely love and accept myself and you believe it, you know, maybe not entirely, but you know, you feel more calm. Then you'd move into, even though I'm not sure how I'm going to take this work and do it in 8 minutes and be highly effective, I choose to do the research. I choose to keep doing the work. I choose to show up at the event and do the very best job I can. And I choose to take one action after another and then continue to do this process. How does that feel, Robin?
Feels good.
So can you see yourself doing that?
Mm-hmm. Well, see, the teacher, like, I've heard all this stuff before, and I practiced it, so.
So, you know. We have a couple minutes. You want to say something that you've actually done this with that you've seen a result that you're happy with?
Part of what I've done is I'm coming into a big, like, say, Valentine's Day or Mother's Day week, and I'll be a couple weeks out doing my planning, and I'll just take a few minutes to just, you know, do the process and relax and just trust that, you know, everything's going to line up perfectly and be what it needs to be. And, you know, when I go to the other end of it and, you know, it's over, I'll take the same kind of thing and do evaluating and look and say, you know, how did that go? And it's always better when I take the time beforehand to do to be able to, yeah, to embrace it before I get there.
What I love about the owning this, you know, even though I feel whatever, you know, it's like, mm-hmm. you know, I still love and accept myself. Okay, great. Whew. You know, like I like to tell people, mm-hmm. you already got an A. Don't worry about getting an A. You've already got that. So now it's like now mm-hmm. we're doing the best that we can, right, with the time, money, and energy that we have, and then knowing that we're working on the skills. And so then, you know, then you move into even though maybe not be totally clear, I am committed to taking this action, and I choose to take these steps.
Mm-hmm.
And then just, again, this doesn't have to be complicated, easy breezy. And I truly believe that doing this work, connecting to self, having a practice that you're doing, there's lots of practices, getting support from people who really want your highest good and are willing to be honest with you, and using tools real time. Don't wait until you're in trouble. You need to be using them continuously and having people who support you that leads to to effective actions. It leads to better relationships, lives you want to be living, careers you're happy in, and workplaces that people want to be in.
Mm-hmm.
Can I get
it? Yeah, it really, yeah. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. And the crowd goes wild. Right, right. I feel so much better, and I know how to be clear. There you go.
Yay. I knew we could do it.
Yeah, you know, and I totally agree with you. It's you know, be doing these things on a regular basis and not waiting until there's a crisis point, because you really ultimately can get to a point where you don't really have crisis points, because you're able to be in a place when you're in present moment and being able to evaluate and look at something. It doesn't have these crescendos that happen anymore, because you're not in a place where, you know, you can be more even keeled about something because you're doing these practices regularly. You know, and stuff. I do the breathing and meditating and the stuff like that every day. And, more, you know, when I go to sleep and when I get up in the morning before my feet hit the floor, and after they've hit the floor, that's what I do while I'm on my way to, you know, go to slumberland. There you go.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for doing this with me.
You're welcome. We look forward to the talk itself and being able to attach it to the show.
Fantastic. Me too.
So it's going to be good. So next week we'll be going back into talking about questions and be working with the most effective habits.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast.
Love you.
To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.